All right, let's open our Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians. And we left off in the first chapter, and I believe we got to the 10th verse, but I think we'll back up to the 8th verse to get a good running start at the meat of the 10th verse here. So again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And again, so precious that Brother Paul knew that this was a precious time, that he was being pressed, he was being challenged, his faith was being tried. And he goes on to say, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And I appreciate that that is past tense. Yes, he was telling of a story in a sense in the past, but he's also pointing to the victory that was and is on that cross. And there was a sentence of death in themselves that we should not trust in ourselves. And again, anytime you start trusting in yourself, it's going to be defeat. Absolute guaranteed. You will fall from your own steadfastness. You will enter into despair. You will enter into an emptiness. You will sense many things that will not be spiritual when you are going in the trust of yourself. And that is absolutely guaranteed. Because the life that we have now is His life. And the trust and the confidence needs to be in Him. So, he says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. And it's so precious how this victory is coming on Paul, because he first talks about this issue of trial and this suffering that he's having in Asia from really being a testimony of the Lord, giving out the Word of God. He's being persecuted. Bottom line, they're after him. They're all in Asia will forsake him as it comes to being here. And again, this, in a sense, can be a lonely time. And it can be a scary time. And he's talking about all of this sentence of death that was on his life, that they were pursuing him to actually kill him. But as we read here in the end of that 9th verse, but wait a second, we're trusting in God which raiseth the dead. So here we go. Who delivered us from so great a death. So he's just going to get right to the bottom of it. We're talking about Christ Jesus, who died upon that cross, who has made us free from sin and death. What else could we worry about? What could be hard for him? What could even be difficult for him? Brother Paul, it's so precious in this testimony. He's going through these personal things, these personal trials that are coming at him. But the realization is that we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the one who not just the resurrection and the life that called Lazarus back to life. This is the one that became sin for us, that faced that death, that died that death that we will never have to die. And in that, how could Paul fear a man whose breath is in his nostrils? You see? Isn't that precious? I love that confidence that Paul is exuding to these people and to us. This is for us because we are the saints of suffering as we started out here. Achaia. In verse 1, those are the suffering saints. We rejoiced last week that this is a way of suffering. We understand that. But he's pointing here to the victory that's in Christ. That's what we embrace. We understand that God fully shows His plan to us. But we embrace the victory. So here he goes. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. He continues to deliver. He delivers us from everything, out of everything. Praise God, and in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. This is such a precious verse. We understand that He has delivered us from sin and death. We understand that there's the promise that He doth deliver. But until it becomes personal, it will never affect you. And here is the key. In whom we trust. You have to believe. If you do not believe, this deliverance doesn't do anything for you. You will live in unbelief. As someone that doesn't know the Lord, they're living in sin. Once they believe, praise God, they've become sinless. They have His life. It's everlasting. But as Christians, when we don't trust God, We have just moved, and it's a very fine line, but it's a very great divide. You're either in the land of unbelief, or you're in the land of believing. And everything that you face. And this is what Paul is talking about. This is what Paul is pleading with these people. Trust the Lord. Trust that He will deliver us. How many times did Brother Hill talk about that light switch over on that wall? Sure, I know there's light there. Sure, I know that if I would hit that switch, it's going to turn on the light. But by the grace of God, I got to go hit the switch. I can believe all about it, but if I don't allow that to be turned on in my life, if I don't exercise faith for me, it's never going to do me any good. I can talk a good game, but by the grace of God, I pray that I'm walking the walk. Why not? It's like that bank account. Again, it'll never run dry. It's got so much money, you could never even touch it. Every time you go back to it, there's going to be even more. You'd love to have that kind of a natural account, I know it. But you need one that's a spiritual one, and He's given it to you. Go withdraw. Withdraw from God. Praise the Lord. Those hands, just leave them open. He'll fill them up with the riches of every spiritual blessing in the heaven in Christ. He does it. All right. So, in that, He said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. What a wonderful thought there. So here they were pressed out of measure. Here He was praying and trusting that He would yet be delivered. You're not going to help me by physically delivering me. You're not going to help me by giving me things. You're not going to help me by being all bent out of shape because I'm suffering. You know how you're going to help me? Pray for me. That's how we're going to help one another. Now, sure, God will put on our hearts to do specific things. Don't get me wrong. When we have a brother in need and the Lord puts it on our heart to do something in that, in faith, not in myself, but in faith, God forbid we wouldn't move. You help that brother in need if the Lord is dealing with you. You don't turn from him. That's the love of God. But the greatest thing and the thing we always do, brothers and sisters, is we pray one for another. And this was the greatest gift that they could ever give Paul. This is what he coveted all the time, was their prayer. He said, helping together by prayer. Ye help by prayer. Just make it that simple. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. What he's talking about there is the grace of God. That's the gift. That's the wonderful gift that we've been given, is the grace of God. Let's rejoice in it. Let's rejoice in that grace that it's always sufficient in all things, no matter what we face. I'm trusting God for you. I'm not trusting anything else. I'm trusting God's grace for you. That's what is your sufficiency. He won't withhold anything good. He'll perfect that which concerns you. All things are working together for your good. How many more times does He tell us? He cares about you. And it's His grace that does it. Praise God. Verse 12. For our rejoicing is this. Paul's going to tell you how he rejoices. The testimony of our conscience. That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. I'll tell you, this is such a rich portion of Scripture. Every single verse, you could never even scratch the surface, let alone exhaust it. But it says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Now, he's not talking about his outward testimony. He's talking about the actual intents of his heart. And you know what? The Lord knows it. The Lord knows the intent of your heart. But Brother Paul is coming at them, and I hope we can say the same by the grace of God, that this is the testimony of the very deep within. This is what lies within us, that this isn't fake, that this faith and obedience that we have to God by His grace, it's real. I'm not here for any other reason. You're not here for any other reason. I pray by the grace of God, except to grow in Him, to be pleasing to the Lord, because you're getting faith tonight. We are growing, praise God, in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's impossible to please Him without the faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the magnificence of a Bible study. That's the magnificence of coming to church. That and the fellowship, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as we see the day approaching. And praise God, Jesus is coming soon. We know that. There's a strumming in our heart. I praise God for that. I expect the Lord to come soon. Hallelujah. All right, so that the testimony of our conscience, this is real, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. Again, it's always the grace of God, not this fleshly wisdom. I could, again, have all the knowledge in the world. I could have speak with the tongues of men and angels. I could have all of these gifts, but if I don't have the love of God, which is the grace of God, I don't have anything. I have nothing. But let's look what he's saying here. That it's in simplicity and godly sincerity. And brothers and sisters, I really do believe these are the keys of faith and yielding. Pay attention to this. These are the keys of faith and yielding, this simplicity and godly sincerity. The simplicity that's in Christ. The simplicity that's in the gospel. What is the simplicity in the gospel? It's the grace of God. It's the most fathomless thing you could ever talk about, but to us it's the most simple thing there could ever be. You're loved. You are loved. Period. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son to you. And if we will believe in Him, we'll never be separated from that love ever again. To me, that's simple. To me, it's simple that He loves me that way. I just accept it. It's a promise of God. It's God's very word. He says, I love you. I gave everything that I ever had. I gave it to you. As we, I believe, thrilled on Sunday morning, I appreciated the Lord bringing that to me. God is all in. He's all in. It's all invested in mankind because He gave us His Son. He gave us that Son. Now, in that, it's simple. It's Him. It's about His love to me. I embrace that love, praise God. And in embracing that love, I want to read the Word of God. I want to study the Word of God. I want to understand about that love for me. Do you see how similar this is to really falling in love with someone? But this is Jesus. And He gets so incredible that you want to know more about His love for you. And as you know more about His love for you, you grow up. You become mature in Him. You become this pleasing, wonderful Shulamite to Him. I was rejoicing in the fact today He says that His wife hath made herself ready. Not His bride-to-be, but His wife. He's singing something to me there. I don't know where He's going to take that, but she's prepared in every way. You talk about a ravishing. Praise God. This is who she is to Him. So, in this godly, this simplicity of the gospel and godly sincerity is just confidence in Him. So you have this grace that you didn't deserve. But put your confidence in it. How much more clear could it be? How much more perfectly simple could it be? It is nothing of me. I think of all these religions that make it all about, in a sense, my works, my effort, my goodness. Do you see how you will not find any of that in God's plan? It's His Son, His forgiveness, freely accepted. He's made the atonement. Praise God, I'm accepted in the Beloved because of Him. I hope that thrills you. Hope that gives you peace tonight. Don't. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. There's just a rest to the people of God. There's just a rest to us. And as a Christian, you're the people of God. You have that rest. Cease from your own works and enter in to that rest that God Himself entered into as He knew it was in His Son. Thank you, Jesus. By the grace of God, we have had our conversation. This is the 12th verse, the bottom part. We have had our conversation in the world. This means we behaved in the world. And more abundantly to you, Word, we behaved in grace. We had a testimony. And it was the grace of God. And even more abundantly to you, meaning these Christians. So even to the ones, I want to have a testimony. I want people to see the love of God in my life. And not in anything fake. Don't have time for that. I want to win Christ. And pretense isn't going to get it done. It's in sincerity. Really, brothers and sisters. I've always been a person, I'm going to tell you, never wanted to waste time. You can ask my wife. One thing that burns me is, Lord has to deal with me on it, is stupid ways. Why are we being stupid today? Come on now. Now, the Lord has to also temper me in that. Huh? Oh, Mr. Organized. Oh, come over here. Ding, 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 ding. You know, it's got to be this way. I've been watching Sweet Brother Ray in my home, working away. And it's been precious to see that. And I just appreciated to see how, really, you talk about the patience of Job to be in that kind of business. I wouldn't even want to say what I would have done to some of those people. But see, God knows where to put you. And it's that patience that we need to have. But again, this is so perfect because it's God that does this. It's His abundance towards us. It's His wonderful work in us. And praise God, we can have this wondrous testimony that can be real by the grace of God, that people, it's going to be one way or the other with them. They're either going to be attracted to it because the love of God is attractive to them, or they're going to get out of there. And praise the Lord. I enjoy that. I don't like empty conversation. I don't need just empty words with someone. Don't have time for that. By the grace of God, time is short. It tells us to redeem the time. Don't neglect so great salvation. Make every moment count by the grace of God. And this is what He's after here. This is what He's encouraging us. Again, all of these things coming together about being who we are in Him. Not trying to be somebody else. Praise God. The faith I follow. The love of God I follow. But I'm the person that God has made me. And you're the person that God's made you. Be that person under the hand of God. All right. 13. For we write none other things unto you. See, Paul didn't confuse him. Than what ye read or acknowledged. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. He said, I know nothing else but Christ crucified. I'm not going to teach you anything else. I withheld nothing from you. I preached the very fullness of God. That's by His grace what we have here. I don't want to withhold anything. I don't want to worry about offending you. It's the Word of God. I know it's going to cut. It has to cut. It's got to cut you to fit a dress if you want it. Period. It's the way it is. It's a cutting away. It's a cutting away of self. And all that's left is the beautiful work of the Lord. Yep. Okay? So if you're still here, believe it or not, there's still some self that needs to be cut away. And I'm right there, front of the line. It's all of us, okay? Praise God. All right. So here we go. 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, so there's an understanding here, even by these Corinthians, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Isn't this precious? We're rejoicing for one another. Can you imagine? We're jewels in one another's crown. Huh? I was thinking about my sweet brother Austin, as he would always greet me and kiss me. And I don't think there was ever a Sunday that I appreciate that sweet brother. He'd embrace me and say, "You're a jewel in my crown. You're a jewel in my crown." And that's how we are to one another. He was my Sunday school teacher for many, many years. And just watching one another grow in grace and knowledge. That's a jewel to me. That's a jewel to you. I hope I'm a jewel in your crown. You pray for me, I'll be a jewel in your crown. I pray for you. I don't care if you don't want you to be a jewel in my crown. I pray for you, so you're going to be one. And let me tell you something. He's got endless jewels. Praise the Lord. Okay? So let's love one another. I don't want any divisions in our meeting. I really don't. That's the thing the Lord has just really had me praying for. I don't care what it would be, brothers and sisters. It's not worth missing God's best, is it? Huh? Is it anything worth missing God's best for? You better ask yourself that sincerely. Well, I don't want to go over to that side or this side because of maybe education levels, or maybe they don't seem to live high enough. How about the color of skin? God forbid. God forbid. We're one in Christ. Absolutely one. And if I see anything else but a soul that my God sent His Son to die for, I'm not seeing you right. Make the move. Make the move, or you're going to miss it. I promise you, you will. Because she's got a perfect love like unto His own. All right. So it is in this confidence, Brother Paul said, "I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit." So it was in the confidence of this testimony that he was knowing that they were starting to embrace, even though all these problems were going on, all of this strife. I mean, we've been reading about these Corinthians. You know, sometimes you're looking at somebody and they don't get it. I'm sure Paul looked at them many a time. You don't get it. It's the grace of God. And then they were trying to turn the grace of God into something it never was. And the grace of God is only one thing. It's just perfect love. It's just His perfect love. It's undeserved. But praise God, he knew that there was some testimony here. He was encouraged in that. And he said that you might receive a second benefit, to receive more, and to pass by you in Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. Now, a lot of times we read these different things and you're thinking, well, really, what did it matter where he went from and where he went to? You know, it all really does matter. I'll give you just a little insight of what the Lord shown me in this verse as well, too. Macedonia means tall. It means big. All right? And let me tell you something. Brother Paul was talking about all of the trial, how there were the beasts at Ephesus. Let me tell you something. This was not an easy way. It wasn't easy to travel, period, back then. The easiest thing was to find a nice place where it was kind of cool and maybe had access to food and you had shade and stay there. Don't go anywhere. Because you traveled on a camel, it was dusty, it was not good, and there were thieves everywhere. And especially when you're preaching the Word, when your feet are shod with the Gospel. A lot of people don't want to see that. And these people didn't want to see that. But Paul knew that there was blessing in this. There was blessing through the trial. We've been reading about that. How he knew that that's when God's magnificence would come forth, was when he was pressed out of measure. So he was willing to be willing to the will of God in his life to go through these tall and mounting trials, not just once, but even go back through that way, all the way to Judea, which means he shall be praised. The only way you're ever going to get to he shall be praised is you're going to have to allow the Lord to bring suffering in your life. You're going to have to allow Him to test you. You're going to have to allow Him to give you trial. You're going to have to allow Him. I'll rephrase that. You're going to have to, by the grace of God, submit to who He has made you. What does he mean by that? Except if you're male or female. Except if you were brought up in a poor home or a wealthy home. Except tonight if you have a job or you don't have a job. Except tonight if your skin is a lighter color or a darker color. You need to accept that he perfects that which concerns you. Amen? I hope so. Never going to get anywhere with God until you become content. Until you settle down into the fact that, Lord, this is the way. This is the precious path that Brother Ray was speaking about again. There's a specific path for all of us. And you're sitting here tonight by the grace of God, and I'm with you, and we are being given the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. Not just the gospel of grace, but the gospel of the glory. I don't care how he got me here. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. And that's what he used. That's what he used. So this is what he's saying here. Is it's worth the suffering. It's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Praise God. Praise God for this. You see how the pattern, it's woven, but it's woven over and over, and it's just layer upon layer. This is the building of faith in our life of that line upon line. Praise God. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? That means he's talking to him here. Was I fickle with the word of God? Did I kind of mince my words? No. He was firm in the Lord. He said, here's how it is. It was always in love by the grace of God, but it was always the truth. Speaking truth in love. Now, think of the truth again. What is the truth? It's the word of God. It's the sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut. But you've always got that salve with the cutting. It's the truth and the love. It's always present. But it's going to cut. Praise God. There's a lot of ways to think about that. But again, it's that truth in love. He was firm in what he was saying. He goes on to say, or the things that I purpose. Do I purpose according to the flesh? Was it for me? Was it for my benefit that I was doing this? And I will say this, heavens no. It wasn't. It did benefit him, in a sense, with his glory that was going to be bestowed upon him in the Lord. But this was by the will of God for Christ's sake. This was, again, something that the Lord laid upon his heart. That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. It wasn't of self. It wasn't in pretense. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. They believed it. They walked by grace. They were giving God the glory. See, that's how you know a minister. That's how you know a pastor. Are they giving glory to themselves? By the grace of God, I hope I'm transparent. Someday, really, I would hope, you're not going to see me because then I'm gone. But that you're seeing Christ more and more and more and more. Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. See, they spoke as God. They moved as God. Because as Brother Copley said, they were from God. You're from God. Praise the Lord. He's in you. Let him move in you. Have that confidence. Have that boldness. It's exciting. I'm getting bold in the Lord. I am. And it's sweet. There's nothing sweeter. And it's this power and strength. It's not my own. And I glory in it. It's swimming in it. And I do. And I never want to get out. I just don't. Praise the Lord. And again, only God does that. All right. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, verse 19, Jesus Christ. I always appreciate that. I mean, you would think, well, we know who the Son of God is. But over and over and over and over, it's in Jesus, the Son of God. It's important. It's the whole thing. And yet, I still meet Christians today that don't want to pray in Jesus' name. I coach a little basketball team for a Christian school. One of the things I told the boys, because they always like to pray, you know, the school hasn't prayed. I think that's great. I said, I'm happy to pray with you. If we don't pray in Jesus' name, I'm not praying. Kind of looked at me. Then I was able to explain to him about the things of God. Whatsoever, it's in that name. I don't even want to say anything. It's just in the name. How could I not want to give out that name? I mean it in love. But see, that's the word again. And what is the word? Sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why that name Jesus provokes one of two ways. To love or to hatred. There was no middle ground with him. People, they didn't just think one way or the other about Jesus. It was they loved him or they hated him. And that's how God sees it. You're either going to accept him as Savior or you're going to know he was Savior. All right. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. This is infallible truth, brothers and sisters. We're moving up to hear that this is the very promise of very God of very God. This is God's word. He cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. This is God's very word. It's not inconsistent. There's a perfect pattern. It never contradicts itself. It's because you're not rightfully dividing the word of God. It's perfect. It's absolutely, there should be another word, but it's infallible. Praise God. All right. For all the promises of God, not some, but every one, all the promises of God, in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. God means what he says. He does. You need to take him for what he says. We read it, we rejoice in it, but again, it becomes that believing thing. There His promises. I thought we had a sweet message not too long ago about promises. What it meant to me. He's the only promise keeper. Period. He keeps them all. He's got them all. He promises his love to me. It can't be separated. In that, I just embrace it and I love you, Lord. In that, I know by your grace you can enable your faithfulness to live in me. But even in the times I'm not faithful, you're abiding faithful. Because you can't deny yourself. And he put his very life in me. He put his very life in everyone here tonight who knows Christ as Savior. Now, we learned that how many years ago? I pray it thrills you more tonight than it ever did. Doesn't it? See, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Yeah, there's a good book maybe you read a long time back, and it was good after 5 or 6 times. Well, I saw that movie after the 10th time, I had to put it away. It never grows old. Just doesn't. And it doesn't because of the Spirit that lives in here. It's not because of anything natural. It's not because of, well, I love the Lord more than you do. It doesn't work that way. It's just the Spirit of God allowing, letting, being who we are as the people of God and letting it take over. Amen. Okay? It's there for every one of us. I remember thinking of Brother Hill for all those years. Oh, he just loves God more. He just this, that way. He just let God more. He did. He let God. Absolutely let God. And when you just let Him, it is, you're embracing that love that's there. Praise the Lord that it's real. Praise the Lord that He can bring this. And it's for every single one of His children. There isn't more here for you because you're in living waters. He's without respecter of person. It was there even for the most wicked, that perfect love. That's a wonderful Savior. Praise God. I think about this as well too, brothers and sisters, and I want to make note of this. We need, by the grace of God, in this promised life that we have, to move from our feeling and sensation. And we need to move into faith. Faith is knowing. Do you understand where we're going with that? I've heard a lot lately about people not feeling anything. It's felt empty. It's felt this. I understand that. Been there. God will take me there again in His faithfulness. But by the grace of God, I need to move out of that very quickly and go into knowing. Knowing. Knowing that He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Knowing that He'll be with me even to the end. There's a difference. Don't accuse me of not being emotional or a feeling person. Or I'll get real emotional on you. But it's in that knowing that all the emotions of faith come in me. And I just embrace Him. I don't need to have that, in a sense, distraught emptiness. I can be on a backside of a desert. I may not be clicking up my heels. But I know. Oh, yes, I know. All right. Now, He which established us, and as we read this 21st and 22nd verse, these are four things that God does for His children. There's four things here. The first thing you're going to see is a continuous thing. It's ongoing. The next three He did once and for all. So let's read about these four things in the 21st and 22nd. Now He which establish us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us, given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So He established us, He has anointed us, He has sealed us, and He has given us the Spirit in our hearts. So the first one is establish. In that is something that is ongoing. That word there means steadfast. As you know there in Peter, it talks about they that are in their own steadfastness fall from it. Because they're not grounded and settled in the truth. He gives you the very answer here of what establish means, what steadfast means. In Christ. It's in Christ. It's in His Word. The armor, the whole armor of God. It's the truth. Every bit of that armor, as we studied, represents the truth. All put on by the love of God. It's just there. But it's the truth. It's the Word. That's what establishes you. And in that truth and Word and believing in the Word, what does that produce? Faith. That's what sustains us. It always is the Word of God, which is His love, which is His grace, because we didn't deserve it. And what happens is faith. Faith is what happens. Praise God. This world talks about a lot of other things happening. Faith happens for Christians that want to believe God. Praise the Lord. So there. So that's an ongoing thing. Now the next three things are once and for all. He has anointed us. and that's God. And what is this anointing? He's anointed us with His Son. He has given us His Son. It's in that blood. It's in that blood, and it's finished. That's the anointing that I have in my wonderful Father, who hath also sealed us. Oh, how I appreciate God for that. This wonderful sealing, that's the eternal life that He's given me. Praise the Lord. It's a seal that can never be broken. Again, we rejoiced on Sunday in that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Let's go over there and read that here quickly. It's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. He says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed," and that's meaning having believed, "ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest," meaning it's a pledge, it's a down payment, it's finished, "of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Did you realize you're a purchased possession? You're no longer yours. You're His. And you've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And when He buys you, He owns you. You see how He owns you? He owns you in His love. Not owning you to control you and to do this and that. He's just loving you in that. But in that He has bought me, He doesn't give you back. You're His. Praise God. All right, let's move on here. So He sealed us and given us the earnest. And that word earnest again means pledged. It means the assurance. It's guaranteed of the Spirit in our hearts. Praise the Lord. This is the sincere faith and love. It's been given all by grace. All spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, brothers and sisters, were without excuse. Not just the cloud of witness, but it's already been done. So again, by faith, go over there to Hebrews again and read how all of those things happened in those brothers and sisters' lives. If it's not happening, it's because you're not believing. By faith, by faith, by faith. I think you get it. Now, praise God, let's believe it. Moreover, I call God, I like that. I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. So, as God as His witness, God encouraged his heart. This he's saying here is, I spared to come and give you this correction, because I was really hoping that you were going to yield. Paul wasn't just about bashing and trashing. I hope you understand that. But poor fella, God gave him a lot of responsibility. And to whom much is given, much is required. And he was putting the church in order. And he did it in love. But it was firm. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand that. And even in our own families, let's take this all the way down to even a practical, godly level within our own homes. And yes, I will start talking about raising our children. We need to have a firm hand. It's in a firm, loving hand. And if you don't have that in your home, you're going to miss it. You're going to face battles that you need to face right now with a firm, loving hand. Because if not, you're going to face a war, I'll guarantee you, that's going to mow you over. And it is an absolute guarantee. And it's true. So take that through all, every aspect of your life. Don't let the enemy make you slothful or lazy. That's the easy, short way. Sure it is. Well, I'll stand for the Lord over here in this part of my life, but this part's too much fun, I think. And I don't want to stand for the Lord over here because this is my extracurricular activity outside from the things of God. And I'm not kidding you, that's how you think. That's how I think. we need to give it all to Jesus. And if we'll just trust Him with every aspect of our life, the beauty that He'll bring, it's exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Every single bit of it. But we have to believe. You have to step out in faith or it's never going to happen. You could think about it all your life. You could hope that it could happen all your life. You could remorse and regret and live in guilt and live in all these things. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. Or you can make a change and step out in faith and say, Lord, I believe you for it. Everything looks against me in doing it. It looks like I'm going to lose all my friends, all whatever I had, whatever it may be. But by the grace of God, let me step out in faith and let me trust that you'll bring the beauty. And He will. Not for what that we have dominion, the 24th verse. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. See, Paul wasn't saying, look, I'm not the dictator of your faith. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith. You're just following me as I follow Christ. I was given the dispensation. I was given this finishing word. Yes. That is able to grow you up into all things, into Him. Wow. Better pay attention. It was just salvation. After dying upon that cross and rising, it would have been all done. Didn't need to do it any longer. But there was so much more. So much more. All that He'd been waiting for eternity's past, was going to be produced from that moment on. Ever thought about that? That's where the bride will come out of. Praise God. It was from that moment on. All of that sorrow, all of that shame, all of that anticipation. And then after that day, after He ascended, He's just been waiting. Father, is it time? Father, can I go get her? And He's just rejoicing and rejoicing. Even though He's waiting. And I know He wants to come. But yet she's getting prettier and prettier all the time. Because she's completing a body of many. And she's not going to be completely done until that last one that will be in that bridal company is ready. So I'm praying for all of us. I don't know who's dragging it down, you know, but let's get going on. Glad you give me some liberty. I knew it was me. I'm sorry. I'll run harder. But we are helpers of your joy. See, don't you want to be a helper of joy? Boy, don't we love to give zingers to one another. Hey, I'm going to help your joy today. Come over here. And it was always in the Word of God. And I never mean to hurt you. I hope you know that. And I think I speak for all of us. By the grace of God, if we're really in Jesus' way, we don't mean to hurt one another. But as we stand for the truth, we're going to encourage and admonish and exhort and all of those different things that come about in that. And that's when Brother Hill used to talk about the diamonds cutting the diamonds. It's in joy because we stand for the truth. And there's going to be times that some of us are a little more faint and some of us are a little bit more, in a sense, singing from the mountaintop and we're at different places and we're all moving around here. But by the grace of God, we're all to edify, promoting spiritual growth. And spiritual growth isn't always going to be, well, let me just continue to, you know, pat you on the head and say, that's okay. And, you know, that's okay. And that's okay. And that's okay right on out of this church. Huh? It's not good God, good devil, good everybody. It's not. There's a way, and it's a straight way, and it's a narrow way. But it's the most joyous way. For by faith ye stand. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.